All right, you ready for it?
I thought this might be a good night to launch the new Coast to Coast AM Open. It's not that the whole Tasty Canadians thing hasn't served me well. It has, and I'm happy with it. And who knows, it may make a comeback if this bombs. But I have been like trying to move toward a kind of a cooler nickname. And I really liked George Norrie's, you know, the Nighthawk, and I was talking about that last week. And I, you know, I think it's just time for me to get rid of Church Boy and Ferret Face and work towards something that has, I don't know, something with a little, with an element of danger to it or something. So I was working on the Night Watchman, and several of you emailed in and encouraged me to pursue this. So here you go. Here's the new intro. Let me know what you think. Armed only with a flashlight and a single can of mace, I come to life at twilight, donut sugar on my face. I take my duties seriously to fight off all things gnarly. Some call my guard post parking lot C. I call it parking lot Charlie. So while all good people sleep at night, I stand guard in this here shack, always ready with my flashlight in case of alien attack. Be it ghost, demon, or Sasquatch man, should it scream, whisper, or bark, I am the C2C Night Watchman, and I'm never afraid of the dark. Cool. Better. It's understandable, though, if millions in Jamaica are afraid of the dark tonight for what awaits them at the dawn. And that's Hurricane Dean. We'll talk a little bit about that, give you an update in just a minute. That and a lot of crypto news to report. Human events so secret, they hide them in plain sight. We'll do that next with a little bit of email before open lines for the rest of this hour. And then our guest coming up next hour couldn't be more timely. We had originally booked Catherine Austin Fitz without knowledge of what was going to happen this week. She knows a lot about this, what she calls the tapeworm economy. What is happening before our eyes when it comes to the housing market, the subprime lending, this big mortgage thing? Who's going to benefit? Who is lined up with bibs around their neck? Next hour on Coast to Coast AM, in for the vacationing Art Bell. This is Ian Punnett. I was having these flashbacks earlier in the day about Hurricane Katrina. It was after I had come back to Coast AM, but before Art Bell had returned once more to the Saturday night show. And so I was on from, you know, midnight to 4 Central time. We were tracking Hurricane Katrina, and I remember the time when she was approaching, and how by the end of the show, it appeared as though New Orleans had survived. And then it was after we got off the air that we started to find out about the levees breaking. And so I'm reluctant to feel good about Hurricane Dean here until I know that everybody's safe. And according to the Sun Sentinel, Hurricane Dean is expected to begin to thrash Jamaica with 160-mile-per-hour winds, or that's about a Category 5 intensity, up to 20 inches of rain, a storm surge, and large battering waves just hours from now, Sunday morning. The system, with hurricane-force winds extending 70 miles in a radius from its core, is going to be directly over the small, densely populated nation by Sunday afternoon. So it's going to be sitting right on top of Jamaica, just churning, and wide enough to cover the entire island and more. Also facing peril, the Cayman Islands, which are about 200 miles northwest of Jamaica, also in Hurricane Dean's path. The storm was expected to rumble over those resort islands on Monday while retaining its brute force and brush past Cuba with ferocity as well, and who knows what can happen there. Dean has already killed 3 people as it moved past St. Lucia and Martinique. on Friday as a Category 2 hurricane, but it's obviously gathering strength. It looks like a giant snowball kind of rolling, well, I guess uphill in a way. If you look at the path, it just gets bigger and denser and whiter in the middle. It also caused severe damage to banana and sugar crops. But in the U.S., Texas is in this killer hurricane's path, too. Three people are still missing because of last week's flooding from Tropical Storm Aaron's massive rainfall. Praying for you, Pat, in deep South Texas. Six are still in that mine in Utah. And closer to me, at least geographically, two men have yet to be recovered from the Mississippi still after all these weeks after the collapse of the 35W bridge. There are just two bodies left there under tons of rebar and concrete and steel. Speaking of stealing, in Sunday's New York Times, broad new surveillance powers approved by Congress hits crypto news this evening. This month, the Bush administration could conduct spy operations to go well beyond wiretapping to include, without any court approval, but legally, certain types of physical searches on American soil and the collection of American business records. Now, that, according to Democratic congressional officials, are kind of freaking out about what they signed. But other experts are agreeing. Administration officials acknowledged that they had heard about these concerns from Democrats, but that there was a continuing debate over the meaning of the legislative language that Congress approved. They said the Democrats were simply raising theoretical questions based on a harsh interpretation of the legislation. Several legal experts said that by redefining the meaning of, quote, electronic surveillance, the new law narrows the types of communications covered in FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, by indirectly giving the government the power to use intelligence collection methods for far beyond wiretapping that previously required court approval if conducted within the United States. For instance, the legislation, according to the New York Times, would allow the government, under certain circumstances, to demand the business records of an American in Chicago without a warrant if it asserts that the search concerns the surveillance of a person who is in Paris. So if they're doing international business, they lose their constitutional right. It is possible that some of these changes were the unintended consequences of the rushed legislative process just before this month's congressional recess. As any kid knows, you never do your best work when you're focused on recess. Rather than on a purposeful effort by the administration to enhance its ability to spy on Americans. And we should all be comforted to know that the White House promises not to exploit Congress's mistake. I mean, the government would never try to do anything just because they thought nobody was watching, right? Well, from fizorg.com, have you heard this story about the U.S. hacker's homemade program that pinpoints the origins of edits on the Wikipedia website? Edits that indicate alterations to the popular online encyclopedia have come directly from the CIA. Virgil Griffith's program, so-called the Wiki Scanner, points to CIA computers as the sources of nearly 300 edits to subjects including Iran's president, the Argentine Navy, and China's nuclear arsenal. Nuclear. Did I say nuclear? I'll get email on that. I didn't. Take it back. A CIA computer was the source of what they called a whiny wah, like a baby, wah, inserted in a paragraph about the Iranian president's plans for the office. While I cannot confirm whether any changes were made from CIA computers, the agency does always expect its computer systems to be used responsibly, said CIA spokesman George Little. Kind of like that. A CIA spokesman named Little always makes sure that little is said. Where's my water? For example, if you keyword search, though, on Wikipedia, you'll find other examples that may be done by the Vatican as well. FizOrg has more on that story. I'm pretty sure that the CIA was messing with my Wikipedia entry. If you type in Ian Punnett at Wikipedia, you'll see that there is in a story there a report that photos have been taken of me in compromising positions with the Geico insurance gecko. Now, I'm not denying it happened, but I mean, who else would have known? You know, if not the CIA. I mean, other than the gecko himself and everybody at Lindsay Lohan's place. But, you know, in my defense of those photos, by the way, I just want to say that at the time, the Geico gecko was drunk. Okay? I was sober, but he was hammered. CNNMoney.com reported yesterday Wall Street got a break Friday with the Federal Reserve cutting the discount rate, goosing market confidence. Still fears of mortgage industry collapse and extreme stock market volatility may keep everybody on edge for months. The soft white underbelly of the subprime mortgage mess. The story you haven't heard anywhere else next hour on C2C. It is the tapeworm economy. True tales of the tapeworm economy coming up next hour with Catherine Austin Fitz. As of Saturday, by the way, some countrywide bank locations in California were still seeing lines of people withdrawing all their money and moving it somewhere else after news this week that they were unable to get any money to loan. The countrywide had talk of a government bailout of the home mortgage industry continues. Who will be the big winners? Who's already lined up? Who's salivating? Just thinking about it. You'll hear about it coming up next hour. Speaking of bailouts, hundreds of camels have died in Saudi Arabia this week from a mystery ailment. The agriculture ministry in Saudi Arabia has said 232 camels died in the space of 4 days in a valley south of Riyadh. King Abdullah has promised compensation for camel owners, who say the real number of deaths is far higher than the 232 camels that just fell over. Camels dying from a mystery ailment? Could it be French Foreign Legionnaires disease? Or maybe the camels are getting cancer from smoking all those cigarettes, you know, getting lumps in their humps. Hey, before I jump, found this article in a drug research website. Thought this was really cool. Researchers in Belgium have developed a new generation of drugs consisting of extremely small antibodies called nanobodies taken from camels that can target human tumor cells specifically and seems suitable for oral delivery, so be able to make a pill out of it. The research team from the Flander Institute for Biotechnology, stupid Flander, are using camel antibodies, which are much smaller than human antibodies and are very stable, soluble proteins that are much easier and less expensive to produce than conventional antibodies. Thought that was cool. Could there be better years ahead for cancer sufferers due to the camel antibodies? Dare we call it Camelot? From the C2CAM.com website, camels might find a home at the North Pole. They might find it a friendlier place. ABC News is reporting there was less sea ice in the Arctic on Friday than ever before on record, and the melting is continuing, the National Snow and Ice Data Center has reported. A senior researcher at the center said, "This is the least sea ice we have ever seen on satellite record, and we have another month left to go in the melt season this year." Now, that's the melting season, and this is the heavy time. This is when the ice usually significantly shrinks before it starts to build back up again. So it's like a quarterback breaking a single-season passing record with most of the season left to go. Good news for somebody like Brett Favre, bad news for the planet. We'll be tracking that coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, also, finally, in the news, chemical elements observed around a burned-out star known as a white dwarf offer evidence that Earth-like planets once orbited it. You know what a white dwarf is? It used to be a sun. It collapsed, suggesting that the worlds like our own may not be that rare in the cosmos. Scientists said this in a story that appeared in Reuters on Thursday. Researchers in LA and Germany figured out the chemical composition of a large asteroid that was ripped apart by gravitational forces as it approached this distant former sun known as a white dwarf, finding that the busted up asteroid was similar to the Earth's crust. That means the debris orbiting around the white dwarf was rich in iron and calcium and low in carbon, kind of like a breakfast cereal, except really hard like a rock, so more like grape nuts, if you want to look at it that way. That's according to the researchers. You know, an ancient, burned-out white dwarf still making headlines? This has got to be good news for Paul Williams. That's all I'm saying. And we got a lot of good news in the email. Lots of people who are checking in on last week's guest and making suggestions for upcoming guests. I don't know exactly what all is going to happen yet Sunday night on Coast to Coast AM, but I know it's going to be good. And I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on in the show. Doing two shows this weekend, as I'm actually had already scheduled the Monday morning off, and they asked me to come in. So I'll be doing Sunday night, too, on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, thank you, D-Tex guy, who sent in the Ian mail. It's rolling around again next month, but few people are now noticing it. They think it's just another day, 9/11. Yep, it is coming, and we ought to be thinking about it. Hello, Ian from New Jersey. I look forward to listening every Saturday to my favorite Night Watchman. Hey, maybe it's catching on. My whole effort to establish this new on-air identity as the Night Watchman. You have a lot of interesting topics and stories. I'm looking forward to hearing your new open. Well, I hope you liked it. Watch out for those free-range Americans. They could be lurking anywhere. I enjoyed Gene Shepard as a kid, and now you as a grown-up. Sincerely, Helen. Hey, Helen, who are you calling a grown-up? Nice to hear from you. Thank you, everybody, who sends in both the nice messages here to the coasttocoastam.com website, but also who participates in the various chat forums that go on around the United States. We'd like to hear from them. You can hear us plug them now and again. This time, we're getting a lot of email from the folks at the Nighthawk Zone. So a shout-out to our new homies at the Nighthawk Zone. Barra writes, "Greetings, O Mighty One of the Airwaves. Just wanted to let you know that your show is the only one that Pet, a.k.a. Rachel or her indoors, will listen to without moaning." I don't know exactly what that means, but that's Barra in Washington, England. Pet in Alabama wrote that. And then also, from Luna Bella. Luna Bella from the Nighthawk Zone. She wrote this. She was suckered into hosting a sleepover party for six little girls. And guess what? She writes, "I told them they could all stay awake all night, provided they listened to you on Coast to Coast. As my luck goes, your show tonight is on the housing market. Do you think these six little girls will be interested?" Well, Luna Bella, actually, tell those sleepy little girls that actually it's all about the housing market for elves and unicorns and magic glitter ponies or something. And maybe, she says here, you could tell the girls to go to sleep and give Luna Bella a break. Well, thank you, Luna Bella from the Nighthawk Zone. And yes, just in deference to all the work that you all do for us over there on that website, yes, I will. I will tell all the little girls to go to sleep here. So girls, I want you all to come a little closer to the radio, a little closer. I've got an important message for you. First of all, remember, none of you girls should ever drink what Auntie Luna Bella has in her mug, okay? That's not coffee. Secondly, I've arranged for Disney's High School Musical star, Zac Efron, to do a special one-hour concert just for you. That's right, teen hunkster Zac Efron is on TV right now. But only your Auntie Luna Bella knows the channel. And there's only one way she said that she'll tell you what channel Zac Efron is on right now. And that's if all six of you tickle her right now. Get her. But don't spill that mug. Is that the first time that anybody's ever said on network radio to a listener, get her? Is that a first? I don't know. Is that a sign of where Open Lines is going to go. We'll find out coming up in just a minute. We'll give you all the numbers you need to participate. And there is no theme to this, so Let It Rip coming up for Open Lines in just a few minutes. And then Catherine Austin Fitz, after the top of the hour, former housing assistant secretary, a woman who knows where all the bodies are buried in the mortgage industry, and it ain't pretty. You've been hearing a lot of the news on the front pages about what you think is going on, but you haven't heard the whole story yet. You will, coming up. And who's going to profit from it? Who's behind this whole thing? On the way on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Hey, all of that crypto news stuff is online right now. If you want it, you can go to my blog. I stuck it on there. If you go to the lower left-hand corner of coasttocoastam.com, there's a button for the blog. Just click onto that, and it'll take you right there to that crypto news report, which we just did, which included all of the links and all of the information and many of the things that are coming up on this show. Don't know where we're going to go. Look forward to where you're going to take us. Open lines in any direction. Let's see what happens next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Don't have any idea what's going to happen here, so let's just go for some open lines and find out. Bob starts us off on the international line in Tijuana. Oh, Bobby, on Coast to Coast AM. Bobby?
Hey, what's up, Night Watchman?
See, already it's sounding good, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounds awesome.
All right, go ahead.
You, like, I'm really into the 9/11 truth movement, and on the internet, you know, we've all been doing it and everything. And the thing that I want your opinion about is, it was reported that in October 2001, Mossad agents were caught blowing up the Mexican National Parliament building. This was all through the Mexican media, and it went to CNN for 2 hours, and then they cut it off. But this is all on Google. This shows that Mossad was involved in shock and awe 9/11 tactics against us in October 2001. That was only 2 weeks after 9/11, and they were attacking in the Western Hemisphere, and it looked like they were caught with bombs.
I tell you what, here's what I'd like. I'll go with you this much. I would love to find any other source than somebody saw it on the internet. And the reason why is there's so much sort of anti-Israeli stuff that weaves in and out of the 9/11 conspiracy. And it gets, you know, pretty deeply into this whole thing about how this whole thing was set up by the Israelis and international bankers and all of that, which I don't see truth to. But let's just go with you this much. Give me another source. Give me somebody else who's vetted it other than saying it was on CNN for 2 hours and they pulled it off. Because
Mexican papers, it's all there, and it's on their CNN, it's on their news, it's all the Mexican national media, totally. They showed them getting arrested, and then they sent them back to Israel like a couple days later, and they totally cut it off from America. But it's all over the Mexican national media, and everybody can look this up. But
okay,
I'm
that's good. Then I will look that up. I'll look it up. I'd be happy to look it up. But I don't know that just because if there were some Israeli agents, Mossad agents involved in some attack in Mexico, I'm not willing to draw that conclusion that was the same thing happened at 9/11. But I mean, I'll take a look. And if you want my opinion, that's my opinion, Bobby, on it so far. But thanks for the good way phone call got started. Dawn, east of the Rockies in Houston, Texas, on Coast to Coast AM. Dawn's gone. We move it on to Zach, who is west of the Rockies in Fresno. Zach? Open
Hi,
lines.
I am a night watchman, I guess you would say. I'm a security officer here in Fresno.
Yes, you are. God bless you.
I like the intro, but I think you should kind of cut out some of the, because a night watchman doesn't necessarily have to be a security guard. And believe me, I've heard all the security guard jokes there is.
Well, thanks for having a good sense of humor about it. So I'm just trying to go ahead.
I have a question. I called last week, but you know, we had that meteor shower. Well,
right.
2 days before the meteor shower, I called Art Bell, and there was this huge thing in the sky. And believe me, I watched the meteor shower. What I saw 2 nights prior, me and 2 other callers called. There was a caller who said he was near Lake Tahoe, and he said it looked like it came down in Sacramento. And I saw it, and other people in the apartment complex I'm working at saw it, and we thought it was coming down in Madera County. So if there's something, because I looked in the news, I looked everywhere, and I didn't see anything about this. And both of us thought, you know, both callers thought that it looked like it would be coming down and
wow.
hitting Earth.
I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear anything about it, but that's very cool. I'd love to know more. So hang on, keep you and your dog handy, and we'll maybe get an update before the end of this hour if somebody knows more about that. All right, Nathaniel, first-time caller line, Rhode Island, Coast to Coast AM. Nathaniel, where are you going to take us?
I'm going to talk about Dudleytown, Connecticut. I don't know if anyone's ever brought it up before. It's an abandoned town that's been abandoned since the 1920s. The last inhabitants was a doctor and his wife, and his wife supposedly went mad after he left for 36 hours and came back.
I don't know anything about that. Where is it?
Yeah, it's Conway. It's part of Conway, I guess. It's not technically classified as a town anymore.
Right. But where? I mean, what part of the state is it in?
It's more north toward Connecticut. It's kind of next to Waterbury.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's right around that area. But I'm trying right now to put a group together to go there and investigate it, kind of.
That's
not look like
cool.
Some just teenage punks, because I've read all these stories about teenagers and stuff all going there and causing trouble. And I really want to investigate it now and go in there and find out the real truth. Slowly, it's a curse. The Dudley family, the lineage, back in 1510, he tried to steal the throne from Henry VII, who placed a curse on him and had him beheaded. His whole lineage had a curse on him. Slowly, there was the belief in the royal family there was Satanists presiding amongst the monarchy at the time, and they're the ones who placed the curse on the Dudleys. Then they came over here, and the curse followed them. And the town eventually went mad, and supposedly over and over again there was murders, suicides, and whatnot until they had to abandon the town in the late 1800s.
Well, it sounds very cool just, on the face of it, but even if it turns out to be like there was lead in their water or something, and even that would be interesting to find out, because had an area that was everybody was drinking from the same common well, or maybe they all had a similar disease, either way, it sounds massive. Now, what are you going to do? What do you want to do with this expedition to find this town?
We want to see if they.
Okay, can't
here.
Say that. Can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we clipped that. Did we? Did we get that one, Nikki? Okay, thank you. Can't do
I'm
that.
Sorry. No, if it's hoaxy or whatnot, because I like trying to go in there. I've done that most of my life. I try to go back and try to investigate things that other people have gone and said, oh, it's real, this and that, and then found out it's not really.
Well, I think it's very. Would you give me an email and let us know how the expedition is coming along and keep me up to date?
Definitely. There's one video that got me really moving is this video on the internet I found on, I think it was Google. And I can't explain. You can just see the shadow walk across this woods, and you can't explain how he edited it or anybody could have done it. And I'm just like, and the kid's freaking out on the video. It's really quick, and it's hard to not buy it.
Okay. Well, I'm always good with that, too. So if you get new video or if you get an image and you want to put it on our website, I think that's cool, too. So keep us up to date and let me know. Linda, wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM and open lines. Linda?
Hi, Ann. You're such an added pleasure to the team. You really are.
Thank you. Just happy to be here.
Well, mine is Nostradamus.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's got in one of his quatrains we were reading, and from what he says, in the year 2007, probably around October, there's going to be a huge earthquake.
Okay, where?
We don't know where.
Okay, well, that's easy enough to predict.
That's what we haven't figured out yet.
Okay,
that's kind of
the tricky part. I mean, earthquakes happen every day somewhere. So.
But it's going to be so great that they said the dead will rise out of the earth.
All right. Well, that's interesting. So did he mean that in a literal context, or was he being figurative as Nostradamus often is?
That's what we're going to find out.
Well, that's all right. I had a little problem.
I have a cold here. I'm sorry.
I had a little problem with that earlier this hour. So so you and who were sitting around reading the quatrain?
Some friends.
Okay. So we think it's 2007. We think it's October. We think it's an earthquake. And we don't know where yet, but it may result in the dead being brought back from.
Right. No. That the earth will turn up the coffins from the earth. That great?
Will the dead get out of the coffins, or just be like a New Orleans things where the coffins pop up, because of the...
Probably that.
Okay. All right. Well, you go take care of that cold. Very interesting. And we'll be talking about this. Actually, remind me, there was a prediction from Pat Robertson? That sometime in August or September, he saw another massive 9/11-like attack. I don't know if he's backed off that prediction recently, but... Wasn't he originally talking about end of summer, beginning of fall? Something which would might even be, as he said, you know, reluctantly, his vision was a little blurry, but it might even be nuclear. I haven't heard an update from him lately either. If you have, let me know. Michelle, wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Michelle, it's open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Hello. I was calling because I'm so worried about our country because it's in so much trouble. And I thought since you're a national show, possibly you could help.
Okay. Where do you see the trouble?
Oh, my gosh. There's forces against us. Let's put it that way. The
elite, when hasn't there been?
Well, yes, but the elites are nearly taking it now. It's almost done. If we
when
don't
hadn't
do something
they
about the North American Union, we're done.
When hadn't they been?
I know, but we're at the brink now.
Why?
Why? Because of the North American Union.
Okay. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I love following that North American Union story. I had Jim Mars on a couple of months ago. I am not going to give up on my country yet. And
I'm not giving up, but we need help. And that's why I think it should be discussed. And there's one lady who's a real professional in that area. She's a professor, a PhD, and I was hoping that you could have her on.
Ah, now I get it. Okay, well, make sure that if you go to the coasttocoastam.com website.
I've done that already. They don't listen to me. Deneen Peterson.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I'll tell it for everybody else then. If you go ahead and send, if you click onto that, submit to the producers, any name. We love getting suggestions. We get them all the time. And if it's good, because that way, if you have specific information, we can work from there. And I keep watching it. There was some interesting stuff that's been going on about the whole North American Union discussion and how this new, you know, government in Canada is, or at least the last quote I heard, is still very confused about this, that there's somehow they're giving up their sovereignty. Not going to happen in Canada. And we talk about it like, oh, it's a done deal. Like it's, it's going to take a lot more for me to believe that it's happening. And but I'm open to the suggestions. All right. So Michelle got me distracted there a little bit. Nikki, who's next then? James on Wild. Thank you for hanging on for Open Lines. James?
Hey, how you doing, Ann?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I'm going to take you back to the meteor shower. It's ironic that a caller a few callers ago was talking about that. I was up in northern Michigan during the meteor shower, and the skies up there are incredibly clear and huge. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was out watching it, and it was incredible. But what I noticed was another very bright light that was dodging around these meteors as they were coming through. And making very sharp turns and moving at incredible speed, almost the speed of the meteors. And it was just bouncing around the sky, and it did this for about 15 or 20 minutes and then just shot west, and I didn't see it again. But for those 15 or 20 minutes, it was almost scary. I mean, it was the first time I've ever seen anything like that before. And I've been wanting to see something like that. I've been a Coast listener for 10 years, you know, and a stream length subscriber. I mean, I'm way into it.
And, well, you say almost scary. I would say that actually is scary. I think that's,
yeah,
I don't know
absolutely
what the almost part of it is. That's pretty amazing. Did anybody else see it that you know of?
My sister was out there with me and her husband was out there, and we were just both, I mean, we were speechless. We you know, I mean, it was moving so fast and making 90 degree angle turns. And then when another meteor would come in, it seemed like it wanted to go in behind the path of the meteor. It would cross through the streak. And you know, it was just, I don't know any, you know, there's not quite words to describe it. And it went on for such a long period of time that we just were speechless, and then it just broke and shot off to the west at an incredible speed, and we didn't see it again. And I was just curious, did anybody else see that besides us? I mean, we weren't drinking, you know. We were right, stone sober, and it was just something that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Well, I will tell you, I will look forward to seeing whether anybody else in the time we have or in the email for next week response to that. And again, give the general idea of where you were when you saw that.
I was about 5 minutes from the Mackinac Bridge. I was in the very upper tip of Michigan, right before you cross over to the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
So I mean, the skies up there. I'm down in the Philadelphia area now, so there's white light pollution and everything.
Sure.
And I was on vacation up there, and the skies are just so incredibly huge, and there's so many stars. It's touching.
Well, very interesting, and I appreciate that. Thank you, James, and we'll pass that along, and we'll see if we get a response. Bob, first time caller lines in Ohio, wild card lines. Bob, where are you going to take us?
Hey, to that primary loan scam.
Yeah, gonna be. It's really Catherine Austin Fitz in just a few minutes, but what's your thought on it?
Well, you know, I sold my house in Cuyahoga County 3 years ago to this fella, and I had a real estate agent. And you remember back in January, they indicted, they had a 99-page indictment for these primary loans, these predatorial loan scams.
Right.
Where these people were purchasing these houses at $85,000. And I sold mine for $55,000, and they couldn't pay their loan.
Right.
So they started arresting everybody.
And?
Me and my wife was arrested for 5 hours back in January, saying that we signed a piece of paper to say that I released $23,000 to these three individuals. And before I went to go sign those papers, I had a real estate agent, and I asked him, is everything good? And he says, yes, it's good. Go to the title company and sign the papers.
And you ended up in jail for 5 hours.
My wife and I. We both were charged separately.
And what's the resolution for? They dropped the charges?
Yeah, they finally dropped the charges, but they wanted to drop the charges on my wife and let me plead to a misdemeanor and go a year's probation.
Okay, and all of this because you sold your house?
Yeah.
Okay, had you sold it, I mean, was there, and just so I understand it, was there anything you had done other than post the price for your house?
Right.
Accept a bid with a real estate agent. Accept the bid. Say, yes, I'll sell you my house for that price.
Right.
Is there anything else you had done?
No, nothing else.
I don't even see, like, what would be the grounds for that?
That's what I'm still trying to figure out. But now they dropped the charges when I told them I won't accept that plea bargain. So they came back. They says, we're going to drop the charges, but would you be a state's witness?
And
I was like, is that the way you beat up witnesses in Ohio? Is that the way?
I think so. They were alleging some sort of conspiracy.
Yeah.
Okay, and the conspiracy was with the realtor.
The realtor, the title company.
Okay, now I'm getting it. So they thought that you were in on this. Whatever happened to that prospective buyer,
right.
They thought you were in on it. Did the sale of the house go through?
Yeah, I mean, it was like I've been living out here in Andover, Ohio for 3 years.
Okay, so you got clear, and they got a clear title, but they ended up getting taken on the other end, and they thought you were in.
They're starting to foreclose on their houses.
Ugh, that's very interesting. Well, Bob, I appreciate it. You're going to enjoy this guest coming up then in just a few minutes, Catherine Austin Fitz, former Assistant Secretary of Housing. And she was on with George back in April of 2005, but so many things have been happening. And she and her colleagues are keeping track of this home mortgage bubble and the things that they have been watching since 1995 and who is really behind this. I mean, you want a conspiracy. Wait till you hear what's coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Tom is in Pennsylvania. He'll probably be our last shot here east of the Rockies for open lines. Tom?
Ian.
Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I don't have a computer, so I heard this one goes to coast about a week, maybe a month, between a week and a month ago, that the Germans are assisting Iran in killing U.S. soldiers. And I found the internet site. It said no shot fired. They want to take over the U.S. with no shot fired. But I could never find the website again.
Well, I haven't heard that story. I mean, I've heard some interesting things about German.
Real quick, it was like a flash. If you watch, Germans were real good with their media. The Germans invented the first computer, and they were the experts at media trickery. And if you watch America, how you see two commercials in between the shows, that's manipulation, media mind manipulation, and nobody knows it in America hardly.
I'm not sure I understand two commercials in the shows. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't watch too much TV, but when I do, if you sometimes they'll show the same commercial between shows in the in one commercial break.
Yeah.
They'll repeat the same commercial.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's kind of like, you know, trying to get that into your brain pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's definitely the purpose of those commercials. And that's true for all the commercials, except for the ones we run here on Coast to Coast. But I'm with you. All right. So, Catherine Austin Fitz, coming up next. The tapeworm economy on Coast to Coast AM.